Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub, and I'm the leader of the Fidget Revolution, as well as a master printer and hybrid artist at Indian Hill Image Works in Poway, Vermont. This audio blog, as well as the sample images below, are on the topic of alternative methods of print display. First, a little bit of background. I've been a working fine art photographer for the last 20 years. And during 6 years at that time, along with my wife, Eve Ogden Schaub, we co-ran Indian Hill Gallery of Fine Art Photography here in Paulet, Vermont. So I feel I sort of have a background in both areas. I've been a working photographer. I've also run a gallery. Additionally, my works are in galleries here in the United States as well as in Europe. So I have sort of a good feel as to what other galleries, beyond sort of our own, are looking for from a photographer, and sort of what sort of the cost are for both sides, you know, the cost of what it costs a photographer to produce work and the cost of what it costs a gallery to actually stay in business. So unless you're living in a cave, you're aware that there is a current economic downturn right now worldwide. And I, like I'm sure you, are looking for ways to be able to present your work without breaking the bank. I mean, no one's budget is huge anymore. And it's important, though, to continue to produce work as a working visual artist. And so, you know, I'm always trying to find ways that don't sacrifice my artistic vision at all, yet make it possible for me to A, still produce work, and B, hopefully even bring the work in at a price point that is attractive to my clients, especially once again during this economic downturn. I mean, let's face facts. One of the most expensive parts about producing a work of art is the finishing of the artwork. You know, it costs a certain amount of money to go in the dark room and make a print, or to stick a beautiful piece of paper in a printer, or to have a lab make a print for you. But one of the most expensive parts is actually finishing that artwork. The cost of having mats and frames and glass, all that is extremely expensive. And unfortunately, it's something that more often than not, the artist, the working photographer, has to end up eating. Because in the classic example of the way the artist/gallery sort of relationship works, most galleries take 50%. Some take a little more, some take a little less, but for our discussion's sake here, let's just say we're going to settle on 50%. So if you're the working artist, you work with a gallery, and you know, they say, well, and you both agree that you're going to be selling this example print for, say, $1,000. So the gallery is going to take $500 off the top of that print sale. And being, by the way, from the gallery side, I can tell you it's incredibly expensive to run a good gallery. It's much more expensive than most people think. And if it's a good gallery and if they're really promoting your work, they deserve every penny of that 50% that they get. But the problem is that leaves you, the working artist, and once again, I said I've been on both sides of this equation here, with only $500. And a lot of galleries want work finished and ready for the wall. So if you figure, okay, well, if you're using any kind of at least reasonably high-quality frame and reasonably decent glass or maybe a mat as well, you know, you might be in for another couple hundred dollars or at least $100. So you're not only making maybe, you know, $300 or potentially $400 max on that sale. That's difficult to swallow. That, you know, out of that $1,000 sale, you know, you're really only going to get maybe 30% or 40% of the total sale. And as a working artist, not only is it difficult to swallow, it's difficult to survive at that kind of price point. So it got me thinking a couple of years ago. As my works got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, some of my prints are as long as, you know, 12 feet long. Some of them are 6 by 10 feet in multi-folding screens. You know, they're beautiful. I chose that type of finishing for a particular reason. But the finishing also ended up driving my price point for the prints. You know, when you've got $1,000 wrapped up in a large frame, somewhere that $1,000, you know, has to be recouped. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially right now with the, you know, the current economic situation. So I started saying, you know what, are there other ways that I can display work that in no way, shape, or form will take away from the artistic quality, hopefully will increase sort of the visual presence of the print, and yet be cost effective not only for me, but for my client? One method, I have spoken about this earlier here on the Fidget Revolution, probably about half a year back, was printing on canvas. Canvas ends up being about 40% less expensive, especially when you print on really large scale, than printing on paper. The reason being is that stretchers, and even really high quality stretchers, are not that expensive. And canvas, if it's done right with maybe a beautiful, you know, floating sort of white border, can be incredibly modern looking, can be absolutely gorgeous. You know, there's a lot of crap canvas made, and I talked about that in that audio blog, but there's a lot of really good canvas made that looks like a true photographic surface. And, you know, it's an interesting way, if you want to print very big, to have something that was cost effective, that's very light, to be able to ship. And, you know, it's a solution that I came up with for some of my artworks. But when I wanted to print on paper specifically, I went, geez, you know, how am I going to be able to print on these papers, make these, you know, rather large-scale artworks, and once again, not have to have the cost of the finishing driving the price point for what the finished print has to cost. So I've come up with a couple of solutions, and I'm going to talk about each one here briefly. One solution is to pin the print to the wall. I used a T-pin. It puts a very small hole in the outside border of the print, and the print floats on the wall. It's a very, very, very beautiful quality. It's used an awful lot by people who do works on paper. It's a sort of non-traditional method of showing photographic artworks, yet at the cost of maybe a penny a pin, it's very, very, very cost-effective method of showing artwork. And what's nice about this is that provided the pinhole is in, like, say, a white border around the print, there's nothing about this display method that prevents the person from buying the print to have them pay to put it in a frame. And this is something that I'm really advocating here, especially in lieu, once again, of the financial situations that's sort of gripping the world. If the client loves the print, why not let them pay to finish the print if they want? If they want to finish it. Personally, the methods that I've chosen, you know, the pins and other methods I'm about to speak about, are how I feel the print should be displayed. However, if a client, for one reason or another, needs to have it framed, I allow that to be something that's a decision that they can choose to do. This makes an awful lot of economic sense, and I'll get into some of the other reasons why it makes sense in just a minute. Another method that I've recently been exploring a lot are the use of rare earth magnets or neodymium magnets. They're extremely small and extremely powerful, and they're, once again, very cost effective. The simplest method to use these magnets is to put a flat thumbtack in a wall, a perfectly flat thumbtack, or like a metal finish nail that you can pound into the wall, and then put the paper on top of it, and then put the magnet on top of the paper. These magnets are very tiny. I mean, some of them are only maybe an eighth of an inch in size. They're very small. They're silver or gold. Some that you can get white ones and stuff too, but I think the silver ones look the best. And they support, in a lot of cases, 5, 10, 15 pounds. So they're very strong. So you can put four little tiny dot magnets in each corner of an image. The beauty of that is you're not even putting a hole through the print. The print literally is just being held to the wall by the four magnets. They're very strong. I've had prints hanging like this on walls now for well over a year, and they haven't even moved as much as a millimeter. So it's a great solution. Once again, you're leaving the possibility for, you know, the client purchasing the print to always have the option of saying, you know what, I want to frame this. But you're in no way, shape, damaging the print using this method. Another method that I've recently become a really big fan of is pin clips. And I've got an example of two different ones here on the website. It's basically a very fine pin that pushes in the wall, and it has a clip on it. And the clip clips to the print. What I like about this method is that the print floats a little bit off of the wall. Whereas with the magnet and the pin it floats a little bit on the bottom maybe, but the magnet holds the print fairly tight to the wall. This method, the print can float a little off the wall, and it lends a really wonderful dimensional quality to the paper on the wall, and it's the method that I'm currently using for all of my New Eden artworks, that and the magnets. It's just a fantastic display, extremely cost-effective, and extremely modern-looking. I really like the look. Now that I've sort of laid out a couple different methods for alternative print display, let me just sort of talk really quickly about some other benefits of considering this type of display. One of the big benefits is that in addition to the fact that you're not having to have the expense of finishing the artwork, you know, if, and I'm referring to finishing once again as in framing. As I said, I consider the prints finished under this method of display already. But it also makes it very easy to ship prints. You know, a lot of my images, as I said, are quite large. And to ship a dry-mounted and framed print that's, say, maybe 30 by, you know, 80 inches, that's a rather large piece to have to get UPS or FedEx to be able to ship. Whereas, because these are, you know, raw sheets of paper, I can roll it in a tube, put the pins or the magnets or the pin clips, whatever display method I've decided to use for that particular artwork, in the tube and send it. It saves the client a tremendous amount of money in shipping fees. It saves you a tremendous amount of nervous energy worrying that gigantic print is going to somehow get destroyed or that the glass is going to somehow be broken. You know, and this is a huge, huge, huge a way of saving a lot of money and also making it more convenient for you and more convenient for your client. Another big advantage to working this way is print storage. You know, I have an awful lot of prints that are 40 by 40 and 40 by 80 and, you know, 30 by 120 inches. And when you've got prints that big sitting around dry mounted or framed, where are you going to put this stuff? I mean, eventually you start running out of space for these large, large, large pieces of work. And the same thing holds true for your client. If your client buys these prints and they want to rearrange their house or move artworks around, you know, and sort of keep things fresh, say a print of yours is not going to be on display for a while. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to take a print, roll it back into a tube, and, you know, the archival tube that it came from with the artist. It's another thing to say, where am I going to put this, you know, 4 by 7 foot, you know, framed print that I can't roll into a tube? So from a storage standpoint, it's also a win-win from the client's perspective. One thing that I do is I don't put glass over the surface of my prints. I use only the finest quality papers and inks, and all of my prints are sprayed with multiple coats of non-yellowing, non-cracking UV protective varnish. Hanamuel makes some of this material. So does Premier Art makes this material. It's a spray material. It doesn't change the surface quality of the image at all, yet it protects the surface of the image from moisture, ground level ozone, airborne pollutants, and that's one of the reasons that I can get away with simply having these, you know, raw works of art hanging on the wall. One of the other big advantages to once again that I talked about was the price point. Remember the whole example that I gave you on how much money that you as a working artist could potentially make from a print sale, you know, once you figure into the gallery and your framing costs and all of that kind of stuff. In this method of working, you know, you literally have your print costs and the little tiny display clips, and that's it. So you and the gallery you're working with or the place you're working with are really making much more equal amounts of money. One thing that we at Indian Hill Gallery used to do, and I thought this was a really good idea, and I'm just going to throw this out there as a solution for some artists or gallery owners who might be listening to this audio blog who, for one reason or another, still want to do framed work. What we used to do at Indian Hill Gallery was we would tell or ask the artist, how much money did it cost you to frame that print? And say the artist said $100. We would then say, okay, your print's selling for $1,000. We're going to take that $100 and take it right off the top. So the artist get that money back. And then we're going to take the remaining $900 and we're going to split that 50-50. That was a solution that we came up with. And I think it was a very good solution. And I think it was a solution sort of born out of the fact that, you know, we are working artists and gallery owners at the same time. So, you know, we sort of, once again, knew both sides of the equation. So these are just ideas of ways to be able to, you know, once again, continue to produce work, continue to have work being shown, and at the same time, not to sacrifice at all from the visual beauty, the depth, you know, the quality of your artwork when it's hanging on a wall, yet at the same time, not to break the bank. Another method, I just thought of this one actually, to be able to display. There is micro Velcro. You can get it. It's not the Velcro you buy at Home Depot. This is micro Velcro. It almost feels like a real thin piece of like velvet. It's that fine. And it's a 100% acid-free acrylic adhesive, so in no way, shape, or form will it hurt the print. And I believe there's even a version that you can heat, and it'll peel back off so it doesn't damage the backside of paper. And what you do is you put a couple small dots on a wall, you put a couple small dots on the back of your print, and the print hangs from the micro Velcro. It's also a very nice look, though I have found that people go Velcro. They have a hard time sort of wrapping their mind around Velcro being used for fine art print display. But the fact of the matter is that if you collect rugs or textiles, Velcro is one of the preferred methods for displaying those type of pieces on walls. So I guess it just kind of depends what industry you're in. So give this a thought. If you have any other methods of alternative display that you've come up with that you feel might be of value for our people here in our community to know about, please share them in the comment section. Take a look at the photographs. I'm also going to put some links at the bottom of this audio blog with places to buy the different things that I've talked about, from the T-pins to the rare earth magnets to the pin clips. And these are just my thoughts. I'd love to hear yours. Have a great day.